Welcome, everyone, to the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure.
Go on, sorry.
Oh, no, there's more.
Nope, you're good.
Episode 8, by my count.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Another 72, and we can go into syndication.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's where you were headed with that.
A lot of people don't know where I'm headed.
Well, that's right. You know, we don't do any rehearsal for this. And that was the one idea.
Don't spoil the magic.
Discussed mere moments ago. Hi, Fred.
Hello, Jason. My name is Fred Partridge. This is Jason Dedrick. I mean, this isn't Jason Dedrick. That's Jason Dedrick.
Over here on this side, I'm Jason Dedrick, and that's Fred Partridge. And today we are the two Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure because Dave Coyne is persona non grata.
Well, he's grata.
Is he?
Well, I think.
But your sister-in-law was grata.
Yeah, oh, that's true. But Dave is on hiatus, but he will return for future episodes.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see how this goes. If this goes really well.
Yes, if he's going to constantly put his personal life ahead of what we're doing here.
Sure, it's like taking a call in the middle of an episode.
Oh, that's what you did. That's right. Oh, well. At least you came right back.
I did.
You know.
For the drink.
That's true. To put your 2 cents worth in. But you, the home listener, the home bar keep,
sure,
is far more important to us than Dave's anniversary, and so we're here.
That's right. You can count on us. So what are we doing tonight?
Well, normally we have a theme, as you know.
I'm pretty new to this.
Oh, okay. Well, we'd like to have a theme.
Oh, good.
And, you and I were discussing, I'm going to rope you in on this, when we were thinking what could we do in Dave's absence, we should do something that harkens back to Dave.
Sure.
Represents Dave.
In some fashion.
In some fashion.
Yeah, a tribute to Dave, you might say.
You might say a tribute to Dave, but he doesn't deserve it.
No, I wouldn't say that. Some other people might.
And so Dave, being the most literary, if we were the Beatles, he would be the reading Beatle or whatever.
That's right.
The writing Beatle?
The reading and writing Beatle.
Exactly. He'd be the guy. He's the word Beatle.
Yeah.
Because he's established this new tradition that we were going to do. It's not even new anymore. We're doing it where there's a literary quote about drinking.
Oh, yeah.
That he does. That's his bit.
Who's doing that?
Well, we're not doing it. Unless you can find a quote in that book right there.
All right. We'll see what I can do.
Yes. I'm sure we can
whip something up.
Yeah. But Dave has always hearkened back to Mark Twain. He seems to be a huge fancier of Mark Twain. And I know, and he'll dispute this, but it's entirely based on the Star Trek The Next Generation episode.
I'm pretty sure.
He said he was going to buy his biography when it came out. Remember when his biography came out? Was it an autobiography or was it? And Mark Twain insisted that it can't be published until 100 years after his death, and it came out a few years ago.
Oh.
I don't know if Dave got that.
How come I don't know about that?
Because you're not the Mark Twain fan that Dave is and filled me in on this.
All right.
Anyway, was it last episode? Dave mentioned that Mark Twain got a letter from, or no, Mark Twain's wife received a letter from Mark Twain in London.
Right.
Saying, make sure you have in the bathroom, which is odd. I don't keep all my booze in the bathroom. Do you have a quote? Oh, you should do it. You should do it. Picture, if you will, the year is
1874.
Mark Twain sits at a rickety writing desk in London and writes to his dear wife, Mrs. Mark Twain.
Sure, Olivia.
Olivia, mm-hmm. He writes,
Livy, my darling, I want you to be sure and remember to have, in the bathroom, when I arrive, a bottle of Scotch whiskey, a lemon, some crushed sugar, and a bottle of Angostura bitters. Love, Mark. I don't know if that's how we...
Probably
Sam.
That's right, Samuel Clemens.
Yes, that was...
S.C.
S.C. I think that was my... that might have been FDR.
Your darling Sammy. Anyway, I thought there was more to it than that. Was there not more to it?
No, that's it.
Well, you see, that's why Dave gets paid the big bucks, because sure. I think Dave had more.
Oh, Dave would have had more.
Because I think it said that they drink it morning, noon, and night, or before they go to bed. Anyway, I have the recipe right here in the wonderful book by Dale DeGroff, genius bartender Dale DeGroff, The Mark Twain Cocktail. And so in honor of Dave, You and I are going to share a Mark Twain cocktail.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
Yes. As described to his wife in a letter from London in 1874, it says here.
Hopefully they had many of them.
We did whiskey last week. This is another whiskey one. This is one of those, you were saying that...
The supposedly rare whiskey cocktail, which there seems to be no end of them, actually. Every time I read that in this cocktail book or that cocktail book, that, you know, there's not that many whiskey cocktails, or scotch whiskey cocktails, but I think that's not true. There seems to be no end of them. So we're going to mix this up with a nice blended scotch.
Yes, we're going to use the famous grouse that we used last time. Although there must be something wrong with my bottle because it's almost empty. And
You check for leaks?
I will later on.
I'm always checking mine for leaks.
If there's anything left. And so, yes, this calls for 1.5 ounces of scotch whiskey. So we're using the famous grouse. 3/4 ounce of fresh lemon juice. 1 ounce of simple syrup. And 2 dashes of Angostura bitters. So let me mix this up while Fred vamps on the piano.
Oh, sure. Where's the piano?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Well, Fred orders a piano.
But yeah, and the nice thing about these cocktails, and I think we might have talked about it before, is, you know, you can start off with you know, a nice blended whiskey, and then try others. Try a single malt, you know, see what the differences are. You know, the little nuances that you can pick up with maybe something a little smokier or peatier.
Yes.
And it's unending, really. It just keeps going on and on, the possibilities. So with Famous Grouse, of course, it's not bringing a lot to the table. I mean, it's whiskey, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a nice whiskey. But it's not not one of those slap-you-in-your-face whiskeys that you can get if you're looking for a single malt.
No, it better not be.
Well, we'll find out.
You're my witness, audience.
A punch-in-the-face whiskey.
And a couple of shots of Angostura in there. Oh, this should be interesting. 1874. So I don't know. The funny thing about this is he's described this cocktail, but this must be something that he was drinking over there. And so right. It must have existed as something else.
Yes.
He just stole it.
He just stole it. Put his name on it.
All right.
Oh, the happiest sound on earth. Wow. Look at the acceleration. Oh, if we could only put an accelerometer on that.
Exactly.
See how many G's you're pulling.
That's that Beyonce song, right?
I think so.
If you liked it, then you should have put an accelerometer on it. All right. Here's that happy sound we love.
Nice. Yes, indeed.
And it's actually, surprisingly, so, I mean, you got 1 ounce of that, you got 1.5 of that. So, yeah, it's a 3-ounce drink.
So you could do that in a martini glass if you didn't care what people said about you.
That's right. Do you care what people say about you?
Not anymore.
Since the...
since the lawsuit.
Oh,
it's all
right.
Quieting down quite a bit.
Excellent. Good news for you.
Yeah. Well, here we go.
All right.
Nice.
Cheers. So the Mark Twain cocktail... 1874.
Hmm. It's a little sweeter than some of the old-time cocktails.
It's quite a bit sweeter.
Yeah. That's one thing I've noticed with some of the older ones. They didn't have the sweet tooth, although they say that they did.
Yes.
But some of the more classic cocktails tended to not be all that sweet. But this one is. It's quite pleasant.
Yeah, no, I could understand why Mark would want to have a bunch of this in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's like lemonade, right?
It is.
It's very much like a sweet lemonade. The Scotch whiskey is there to remind you that you're vacationing in London.
That's right. Yeah, I think maybe a whiskey with a little more punch might elevate this a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe at sometime in the future we can revisit this with maybe something like an Ardbeg, something like really crazy.
Yes, I think there's some Glen. Fiddick around, but now I don't know if we have enough sugar syrup for it. But that's why it's so sweet. My goodness, yeah. It's got 1 ounce of simple syrup.
Oh,
in it,
right.
Compared to 3/4 ounce of lemon juice, so it's. But it's very nice. Holy cow!
Yeah, that's a good thing we're on to sweet drinks.
Yes, because.
Well, because the next one is a classic tiki drink.
A tiki drink.
Yep.
How does a tiki drink relate to the absence of Dave Coyne?
Well, I've gone through one of my books by Beach Bum Berry, the Grog Log. Yay, Beach Bum Berry. known far and wide for recovering and restoring tiki drinks worldwide. Mm-hmm. So I was going through this thing. What drink? What reminds me of Dave? And then I came across one called Gone the Beachcomber. Because Dave's gone. Obviously, this is a reference to Don the Beachcomber. From years gone past, one of the early purveyors of tiki drinks. And now this one's got quite the ingredient list.
Really? What sort of stuff are we going to be looking at in Gone the Beachcomber?
Well, some familiar things. But we've got an ounce of fresh lime juice, a quarter ounce only of lemon juice, half an ounce. Can we take that out later?
Or we'll put it in twice.
Oh, nice. A half ounce of passion fruit syrup, a quarter ounce of maraschino liqueur.
That's it.
A quarter ounce of sugar syrup, an ounce of Demerara rum, and then just for fun, a quarter ounce float of overproof Demerara rum, 151.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, no smoking. This is a no smoking zone from here on out.
So, is there a year on this one?
No, they say it's their version of the Demerara or his version of the Demerara dry float.
Oh, okay. So this is like Jeff Berry has adapted, eh?
Yes. He does do that a lot.
Yes. And
he's incorrigible. But you see that with a lot of modern bartenders because it's all good. You start out making the cocktails from history.
Yes.
And then, you know, you do that for a couple of years. And it's like, well, you know, I want to do something myself. And so you see that. I remember going through the Dead Rabbit book, and which isn't about dead rabbits.
It isn't?
No, it's not a cookbook.
Oh.
No.
But... I got all excited. I was going to make Hassenpfeffer.
No, in fact, it is more about cocktails. And so they've got their versions of a lot of famous cocktails. Which can be fun and frustrating sometimes because they use their own unique ingredients. But
yes, and I mean, as this poor guy in London who got his thing completely ripped off by Mark Twain.
Yeah, poor fella. So anyway, so we'll jump into this. So we need some lime juice,
and you have fresh squeezed lime juice.
Always fresh squeezed. Don't be tempted by the convenience of bottled juices. People, it's a world of difference. You'll make it. You say this isn't very good.
Yes.
Why are people saying so many good things about this drink? It's horrible. That's because you got your lime juice in a bottle. So don't do it.
That's right. Even no matter what the police say, lime juice in a bottle.
So there we go.
Did you get an ounce out of that lime?
I got an ounce of that lime. It's always the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how nature came up with that, but nature will always pack about an ounce of lime juice in a lime.
You always get exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah.
If you get a little bit of lemon.
Oh, sure. If you get a great big lime, it'll have about an ounce. And if you get a little weedy tiny lime, it too will have about an ounce.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. See if I can do a quarter.
Well, it's been cleared.
Don't make me laugh while I'm pouring. Oh, it's going to be, that might be just a little over a quarter ounce. Oh, too late.
All right.
All right.
You know, a lot of these are bartending books and will tell you to measure.
Yeah.
See, it's like a carpenter, right? You measure twice and cut once.
Yeah.
Now, I measured twice and I got cut.
Yeah. Sometimes that's all you're looking for.
That's true. And a little simple syrup there.
Yeah, just a splash of simple syrup.
I remember on the old Letterman show, when he would have to make a phone call, he would say, please be quiet. You can't imagine how difficult it is to to make a phone call, to dial a phone when you're on camera. He says it takes a great amount of concentration. And I used to sort of scoff at that. But having done our show here, if you're trying to talk and measure out a drink and carry on any cohesive conversation.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know half the things I'm saying.
No, you just...
I don't even know what that was. Near as I can recall, it was blah, 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 blah.
That's right. Our third host is Charlie Brown's teacher.
So you got a quarter ounce of maraschino. It's, you know, when you get a quarter ounce of something, you sort of wonder. But with some of these things, you do actually get the hint.
Mm-hmm. This little jigger here has a quarter ounce clearly marked in it.
I could have used that a few minutes ago.
That's another thing. Yeah, you're the home bartender. Look around a little bit, because sometimes it's not easy to find something that actually shows the quarter ounce. The smallest unit will be a half ounce, and that's a little bit too big.
And you turned that on me, and now...
Sorry.
That's all right. So my vintage passion fruit syrup?
Yes.
I'm throwing it away until the mold grows on it. No, it should be fine.
This is BJ Reynolds.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's still good.
I think the original recipes for a lot of these ones called for that Trader Vic's passion fruit syrup. And it was great because it's Beach Bum Berry says in his book that it was made with actual passion fruit.
Oh, well, that's a plus.
Yes. And then somewhere along the way, they started to make it out of, corn syrup or something like that. But what you have there is authentic.
Yes, this is the authentic stuff.
And there's that wonderful sound. We've come to love.
Okay, you're going to have to make room for this.
Well, we're going to use those glasses over there.
Oh, those glasses over there?
Yes, we have separate glasses for this.
Why did I chug my drink so quickly?
I don't know, because remember, at the end of this, we have to tell the audience which one we like better. So I saved a little bit of the first one.
Oh. That was all glug, glug, glug.
You're just going to like yours because you made it.
Of course I am.
But this will be great.
And don't forget, we have to do the float on top.
Oh, that's right. A little bit of... Now, this was hard to find. I think you'll find it easier to find in the United States. This is the Lemon Heart 151 proof.
You want to get that, pour that in? You get a quarter ounce of that? Maybe a little more than a quarter ounce.
Hmm.
Just
the float.
Good.
Beautiful. Right. And already you can hear the jungle drums...
Oh,
that's what it is. It's the neighbors.
I think they're just hammering. I think they're just re-roofing next door.
And a float of that lovely lemon heart. I love the Demerara rum. I think we were talking about that. I mean, it's not your standard rum. So don't confuse it with, I am going to have a rum drink. I'll use Demerara. But oh my gosh, it's so flavorful and lovely. All right.
All right, we're going to have a little... A little drinky poo.
Mm-hmm. Now this was, what is he? He's adapted this from his version of the Demerara dry
float.
Okay.
Which,
Cheers.
Cheers.
Wow. That is dry.
Yes, it is.
That's, I think it's drier than I like.
That's funny. With all those ingredients, it's not that sweet, which is fine. I don't always like a sweet tiki drink.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then this is your new favorite drink.
Mm-hmm. That 151 just sort of floats on top, but it doesn't really... I was expecting it to be a real...
Oh, right.
A real hit.
Right.
Some of the other drinks have a bigger float on them.
Yes.
At a quarter ounce, you're not... It's really just for effect.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's quite balanced.
Yep.
You know, how much sugar syrup is in it?
Just a quarter ounce.
Just a quarter ounce. So, yeah.
So, you might want to tweak that a bit at home.
And a quarter ounce of the maraschino.
Depending on where you go. I think the...
And then it's got an ounce of lime juice and a half ounce of the, or no, a quarter ounce of lemon.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, this is interesting actually, as this has turned out, this is the opposite of the almost too sweet Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm.
With an ounce of sugar up against 3/4 of an ounce of citrus.
Yeah.
This has an ounce and a quarter of citrus up against a quarter ounce of sugar syrup. So it's just there so that it's not just pure lemon.
Yeah, so if you're somebody who likes a sweeter drink, you might want to either up the maraschino, although that might throw things out of bounds a bit, but you're not getting a big cherry hit off of this at all.
The more I have it, the more I like it.
Well, it does grow on you. No, the thing with if your drinks are too sweet, it's going to be hard to have three or four in it at a sitting.
Right. But you'll do it.
You'll do it, sure.
Yes, we have done it.
But it's nice to have these not-so-sweet drinks to sort of...
You said the secret word, you win $1 million.
$1 million.
Yes.
But it helps you break up the monotony. If you had like three super sweet drinks, it wouldn't be... you'd get kind of bored of that. But this one's a bit like a not-too-sweet lemonade.
Yeah. Yeah, the citrus definitely is all front and center there. The rum being... Is it all Demerara in it?
It's all Demerara.
Right. And so you've got the flavors of the Demerara rum.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, the one... Because it was just an ounce of the rum?
Yeah.
And then the quarter ounce of the 151 to up the...
Right. Yeah, so basically it's like a 1.5 ounce drink.
Yeah, no, it's... I never would have guessed it was tiki. Like, if you had poured this for me at a bar and said, oh, what's this? I don't know if I would have guessed that it was a tiki drink.
Yeah, you don't have, other than the citrus, you don't have a lot of the traditional tiki flavors in it.
Mm-hmm. The Demerara has to swim uphill against the old citrus.
No, and I think much like the whiskey in the Mark Twain, I think it's it gets a little bit lost in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
So
Literally.
So I think that... yeah, if you wanted to get something that had more of a rum flavor, you'd need something with a little more kick to it, like a Black Seal or maybe a Black Strap.
Oh, yeah. But then it wouldn't be the Demerara
It wouldn't. Drive, it would be, this is Gone the Beachcomber.
Oh, that's true. It's adapted from
Dave's that. Gone the Beachcomber.
Dave's Gone the Beachcomber, and never the Mark Twain shall meet.
That's right.
Now, here's a thing that we're not going to do, but you take this drier drink... And the Mark Twain sweeter drink, you make them both, and then you just dump them together.
Oh, yeah. We could do that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it in a canteen and go for a
nice hike. Do the gross grind.
Yeah. Wow. But good choice. I like that. Gone the Beachcomber in honor of Dave, and I like this. I'd want to try it again. I don't know why.
With a different rum? Or just again, because you like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. Why would I want to try it again? Here it is.
Yeah. Nope, that's good. Well, I think people will enjoy those.
I think people will enjoy those.
But try the Mark Twain. That's surprisingly accessible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Mark Twain. That, and again, that would be a good one to convert those Scotch drinkers that don't like Scotch.
Yeah, don't need any more Scotch drinkers. It's already bad enough.
Oh, true enough.
I want to put them off Scotch. The people that are drinking it, I want them to stop. The price is getting out of control.
Why don't you start drinking, what's that, Aquavit?
Is that Aquavit? I think everybody should Aquavit.
Aquavit.
Or just any New Jersey vodka.
Mm-hmm. Or start making your own.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you didn't hear it from us. You have to look at your local...
check your local bylaws. You know, we don't want to encourage any law breaking out there.
Exactly, in the home distillation market. So do you have a favorite of the two Fretters?
Well, you know, I just go for mine.
Yes.
But I think the Mark Twain, although I think I would try and mix this up a little bit with some different rums, but the Mark Twain was kind of neat. I like that. Mm-hmm. It was easy to drink. Smooth.
It was smooth. It was smooth. That's the real difference between it. Not only just the sweetness, but it went down very smooth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure Mark Twain had many of those.
I wonder if there would be a benefit... of adding a shot of bitters to Gone the Beachcomber, or even since you're doing the float of the 151 Demerara, maybe a little drizzle of a grenadine or something like that to give it another sweet raspberry syrup, something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You got the maraschino in there.
Yeah,
you could just crank that up.
I guess you could. But it's not super sweet from my recollection of drinking it straight.
No.
That.
What? Excuse me?
I'm sorry. Is this on? Oh, you're going to have a little? Yeah.
It's a little sweet. It's sort of like Grand Marnier sweet.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll throw a little splash in there.
But the cherry is quite subdued.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, no, I forgot completely what it tastes like. It's sort of musky, too, isn't it? Is it musk the word I'm looking for?
Yep.
There's a
little musky.
Yeah.
But it's fresh, so...
So, yeah, it's not like you've... this wasn't your grandfather's no. Maraschino bottle. This is fresh.
No, I'm saving that.
Luxardo Maraschino.
Yep.
Ask for it by name. So we're thinking that the Mark Twain is the winner this week. Oh, and Dave would have loved that.
He would have.
But he's gone.
Oh,
the beachcomber. Which I guess means that we too will have to wrap up, unless you can pull up a quote.
A quote?
A literary quote that we can sign off on.
I don't think so. As we flip through all our books.
Look frantically for something. Just to say...
Yeah, no, if I'd... No, Dave's got all the good ones.
He does have all the good
ones. All the ones I knew by heart, he's already used.
Is there anything in the in a dedication at the front of the book that would say...
Oh, sure, let's go with that.
That's where they sometimes hide your good
quotes. Yeah, no, he just says mahalo. But anyway...
Oh, here's a quote.
Oh, I like it.
Not literary. This is at the beginning of Dale DeGroff's book, The Craft of the Cocktail. This was a bar. Oh dear, I should have done more research here. Charlie O's at 48th Street and Rockefeller Plaza in the heart of Manhattan. Have you been there, Fred?
Not yet. Maybe this fall.
There you go. Ron Holland and his partner, the legendary art director George Lois, had worked closely with Joe Baum, who might be related to the Wizard of Oz Baum.
I think he is. Let's say he is.
That's right. Creating Charlie O's. It was a terrific room full of dark mahogany and leaded glass with a long bar along the east wall and a beautiful oval window looking out on Rockefeller Plaza. On the walls hung photographs and quotes from great writers and great drunks.
Yeah.
You see, which is what we aspire to be.
One day.
And Ron's own grandma Holland, who pronounced on her deathbed, "I'll keep drinking them as long as they keep making them," was on the wall too. So there's a quote for you. "I'll keep drinking them as long as they keep making them," on her deathbed.
Me too.
Well, you're not Grandma Holland.
Oh. Well, I'm with her.
All right. Good for you.
Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. And, you know, without Dave.
Yes. Mit out Dave.
M-O-D.
M-O-D. For you movie buffs out there. And he'll be back next time, I'm sure.
Oh, after this, he'll be clamoring to get back.
That's right, unless he listens to it, in which case, that might have the last week was Dave's.
That might have been his swan song.
Swan song. And so, until next time, you get out there to your local craft cocktail place, or any cocktail place. We have to spread the word that the cocktail should be enjoyed. If you want to have a beer, but before you have that beer...
Have a cocktail.
Have a nice cocktail. And that way, when you pay your bill, you can be like a gentleman of elegant leisure and tip big.